You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is here with us as he is on every Tuesday. He is talking during the breaks and wheezing and coughing and being loud and regretting the Jim Frivola chant because it has him feeling a little asthmatic. And as we descend into the depths of old guy radio, because this is an audio experience right now with Cody and Stugatz, sounds about 100 years older than it even is,
right?
Because they sound so terribly bad. They were just talking about their love of flea markets, the two of them. Greg Cody and Stugatz were talking about how much they love a good flea market, and I don't even know where that conversation began.
Someone said the words flea market earlier in the show, and so I just wrote it down here and just reminded myself that I love a good stroll through a flea market. I do. You'll never know what you'll find at a flea market. You might find something that's worth a dollar. You might find something that brings you back to when you were a child. You might find gold, something that you think is worth $5. You pay $5 and you find out later on that it's worth a couple of grand. But what I love about it is there's food around every corner and there's a back massage around every single corner. I love a flea market. I do. They're fantastic. They really are.
Well, you just described
a little bit of everything. Yeah.
And you said that.
Name something you want, Dan.
You made it sound like
it's there.
Antiques Roadshow is what you made it sound like.
Or a garage sale.
No. Mm. You guys don't get it.
Right.
Antiques Roadshow is very hoity toity and a bunch of opportunists trying to make a buck off of dead relatives' prized possessions. That's not what a flea market is.
Correct.
What about an estate sale?
That again, opportunist family members trying to make a buck off of death.
Tell me about your love of flea markets. I didn't realize this is what was going to lure you out.
Me? Well, I'm going to be honest with you.
There's no telling, Stugatz.
I'm a flea market novice.
I knew flea markets would.
I like the idea of them. But to be honest with you, I haven't partook in lots of flea markets in my lifetime. But I like the idea of them. Because like they're saying, rich is a plenty. You could find anything that you look for there.
Oh, but I think you might love the idea of it and then get there and not love the idea of it anymore.
No, why is that? No.
Well,
unless there's too many people, dust, I would probably like it.
Dust. You might not like some of the people who are aggressive in wanting to take your stuff because people get competitive at those things. because there are a lot. There might be people there who care about a flea market more than you do.
No, I think a flea market, you just kind of peruse around and things have their listed price. And if you want it, it's yours. I don't think there's auctioning going on.
I think there's haggling.
You can bargain. Sure,
yeah.
You bargain.
Yeah, but you haggle down.
I don't see. How are your haggling skills?
No.
Mine?
Yeah.
I've threatened to walk.
Wow.
I've threatened to walk.
Right.
No prouder moment than the last time my wife went to get a car, and I said to her in a very aggressive whisper so that it could be heard by the salesman, we can buy a car anywhere.
Yeah.
They need this more than we do.
Yeah, they do.
We can go.
Whoa.
Did you leave?
Well done.
Yeah, but then it ended up not being the deal that I thought it was.
So you made the big show of
I thought that we were getting more miles than we were because it was a lease, and I thought we were going to get 12,000 because studio's a little far, so I thought we were getting more miles than it was. It ended up being only 10. Now it's like, well, whose car do we take to Disney next time we go? You know, it's a whole thing.
You gotta draw the line.
I remember why we were talking about the flea market, because there was something about the Butch Davis firing that felt flea market.
That's
Butch
right.
Davis is leaving FIU football, and it's not just that they were playing with borrowed helmets and equipment, uniforms that were years old, which is ridiculous when you're talking about Division I program that beat the University of Miami. He said flatly he's been sabotaged by his program.
He's also been like 1-20, so like, well, calm down, Butch.
He is on a 1-16 skid since beating the Hurricanes, but the indignity, I mean, granted, you're a CUSA team, all right, you're third tier, but still, you're playing with hand-me-down shoulder pads from Mississippi State? I mean, Butch Davis has a pretty nice resume. He's a legitimate football coach. Granted, he's at the end of the line, 70 years old, but he deserved better than that. I mean, FAU just shamed itself for the way they kicked him out.
He chose it.
FIU.
Or FAU, yes. FIU, rather.
I mean, he was wearing
a visor. Did he ever really have any shame left?
I mean, he had three bowl games in a row. Butch had his time at FIU where he was a success with that program, but it's in the last couple of years. The pandemic year last year just killed him. I talked to him for a column during that. They were 0-5. Half of their games are canceled. They're losing half of their team. There were two games they literally could not field a lineup. Last year was just a debilitating nightmare for Butch, and now he's 1-9. I feel for the guy.
You didn't even say the worst part. We did not, for all that we just covered there, we did not say the worst part. His job opening was listed while he was still in the job.
Right.
Like yes. They listed that they were in the market. They put it up. They put it in the classifieds.
Can you imagine? The AFCA job posting for Butch Davis's job. Opening. Job opening at FIU while Butch Davis is coaching the team.
That's the worst of it, is it not? Yeah. Everything we just described, the fact that...
Well, them using the classifieds, I would say that's the worst of it.
The equivalent of the classifieds.
Right. The only thing worse would have been a billboard on I-95.
Are you wounded on behalf of your school? You have never thought about being a Golden Panther, Billy?
Oh, I am, Dan. I bought a hat, so I'm a booster of FIU.
Are there Golden Panthers?
I mean, they used to be the Golden Panthers.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I mean a club. A clandestine club,
similar to the Golden
Walking Canes.
I love the idea of doing the show out of how are the Golden Canes different from the Golden Panthers, because those are two different...
Tens of millions of dollars.
It's not Ed Williamson and Art Hurd, certainly.
I saw a tweet, Greg, and I don't know, I'm assuming that this is public information because it's a public university, where you can see like what the budget is of each athletic program and what it is for each sport. And FIU was at the top of Conference USA in terms of what they spent in 2019 and 2020. So, like, you can complain about the nickel and diming of that situation, but it seemed like they were putting in more money than the competition that was beating them.
Well, but if that's true, it speaks to how little the other schools are spending. And it speaks to the fact that...
Oh, Jesus.
It speaks to the fact that Conference USA has had a mass defection. They're losing, like, 6 or 8 schools to other conferences. It's the whole league is a wreck. And good for Butch getting out when he is.
Well,
not that he wanted to.
Where's he going to go, though?
I mean,
into retirement.
good for Butch.
It's 1-16.
The good for Butch getting out when he is, not that he wanted to.
He didn't choose to get out.
Yeah, no,
he fired him.
He went out complaining that they sabotaged him.
They sabotaged him. They really did.
But good for him.
I gotta tell you.
They opened the job up before they fired him. I mean,
but the Times kind of sabotaged Butch as well, right? Because the recruits that he got didn't work out. He lost people in the transfer portal, which he's been complaining about since that happened. It's game's changed.
I think it's tough to recruit when you're using hand-me-down shoulder pads from Mississippi State. I mean, there's certain standards of a classy department.
But where was the money going? Where was the money going? And people are talking. Billy just said they were spending. Like what?
I mean, according to this website, they were spending more than the other teams in Conference USA that were beating them.
Well, doesn't FIU, other than football, which seems crazy to say, because even FIU hemorrhaging money was still making more money than other sports. But isn't FIU like pretty good in soccer and some other
sports?
Yeah,
they just beat last week the defending national champions in Marshall.
Okay, so
they're going to be in the soccer tournament now.
You could make an argument that beneath the rotting head of football is a pretty stout athletic body. How's that for a tortured metaphor?
Well, I just can't believe we spent these last couple of minutes engaging both Billy and Greg Cody on the glory that is FIU
and
football.
And flea markets, Dan.
And flea markets exactly. As well. Did you get out all your opinions on flea markets? Because another place that you were talking about, you cooked on Sunday night. You were talking about how wonderful your meal was that you cooked. You were patting yourself on the back for heroically making a wonderful meal.
Yeah, I went to an Asian market, bought the real deal, bought Korean short ribs, which are cut against the bone so that they're very thin, almost paper thin. They turned out fantastic. But flea markets, I adore because it's a time warp for me. When I go to the Thunderbird flea market, it's 1975. In my mind, I'm walking in, I'm wearing my flare pants. I'm wearing my cream-colored dress shirt with the purple pumpkins on it. I'm going to buy a bag of weed and my Buick Cutlass.
It's what? Just,
it's I want to meet that Greg Cody.
Wait a minute. I mean, what was happening? You were
back in the day.
A teenager. You were, but you're 20 years old and you're buying a bag of weed at the flea market.
No, not at the flea market. I'm in my
right purple. Down the street from the flea market, though. Yes.
And the first bag of weed I ever bought. This made me laugh out loud. It was $19 for an ounce. It made
an ounce.
Yeah, Jesus. A whole ounce for $19.
Great value.
And I'm like, you don't want to round it up to 20?
You flipping that thing?
Am I going to give you a 20 and you're going to give me back a 1? How does this work? Stems and seeds. But
I did not have this ending up with FIU analysis combined with the times that Greg Cody bought weed.
Pete Garcia's gone, by the way, which is a great day.
Yeah.
Dan, wherever you find a flea market, you will find a guy selling weed within a 2-block radius. I promise
put
you.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Wherever you find a flea market, do you find a guy selling weed within a 2-block radius throughout history? Is Stugatz right to make that absolute?
Yes, he is. At a flea market, there are certain things they're known for. There's a million varieties of used pipes, meaning smoking pipes. There's 8-track tapes, which you can't find anywhere else.
Board games, I mean. Oh, they got it all.
Yeah.
I feel like you haven't been to a flea market since the 80s.
I've probably been to a flea market in the last 20 years. I think since the Dolphins last
met. I think he hasn't been to a flea market since the flea market he's describing of his 20s. You say you love a flea market.
Tapes.
You haven't been back to a flea market in 45
years.
We should
go as a show.
When's the last time? We should broadcast live from a flea market.
They're not still selling cassette tapes at
flea market. I believe
you
could find some.
Right. Trust me when I tell you that you'll like the idea of being at a flea market a lot more than being live remote from the flea market. Trust me. But Billy, if you want to go and be a flea market correspondent, I would love that. I would love to send you out to a flea market one day
and just
have you check in from wherever it is that you are. Billy's flea market tour, you don't think that people would be loving you as a guide on that?
I feel like flea markets are a weekend thing, aren't they? Are they open all day?
Well, they're open at night, are they not?
No, they're open all day, man.
Seven days a week.
Yeah, the flea market doesn't close. What are you out of your mind?
Not sure either of you know what you're talking about.
That was
At one. What are you talking about?
On a weekday? Market.
Right by my house.
On a Wednesday morning? Yes. For a moment. There was a flea market in Parkland, Florida.
No, on a weekday?
No, there was one near Parkland, Florida that I just went to on a weekday.
What were you looking for?
I went there with my wife. She was looking weed. I went there with my wife. She was looking for something. I was getting a back massage in one of those chairs. That's what I was doing. It felt wonderful. I am at Festival Flea Market. That's the name of the place. Festival Flea Market.
It's a real place. I've heard
Jesus
commercials.
Christ, Greg. I mean, Greg.
I buy all of my shoehorns and back scratchers at flea markets. One of the greatest days of my life was when I went to a flea market with Flea of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He thought the place was named after him. It was fantastic.
One more.
This festival marketplace is really a shopping mall.
Yeah, it's a mall.
It is open 7 days a week, but this is not a flea market.
It's on Sample on the Turnpike. Listen to me.
I'm on the website. It's like
I grew up on flea markets. I know a flea market when I see it. Yes, I did. In Long Island, they had them everywhere. That's when I purchased my weed, okay? Within a two-block radius. So I know flea markets, and I am telling you, the festival flea market has everything. It is fit. Billy, you and I will spend the Saturday there.
This
you will love
mall.
It.
This looks it's like not... Mall of America.
A real flea market is where people are showing up. Are people showing
it's
up?
Outdoors.
With
is outdoors.
And people are showing up and they're their own vendors.
This is indoor outdoor. It's an indoor outdoor flea market. I mean,
Guillermo, put it on the pole.
Don't criticize until you go there and try it.
Are there stores at this place that just close at the end of the day and then all the stuff stays there? Because that's not a flea market. A flea market is the person that's running it picks up all their stuff at the end of the day and goes home.
There are certain people who pick up their stuff, right? And they take it home. And then someone new might come back the next day. And then there are certain people who have bought themselves a lot at the flea market and they use it year round to sell stuff. So, I mean, I'm just telling you. Festival Flea Market, Sample Turnpike. I will meet you any Tuesday afternoon you want. In fact, I need some weed. I'll meet you there this afternoon.
Guillermo, put these things.
Pompano on a Tuesday afternoon.
I mean, come on up. It's where I live.
I thought you stopped smoking.
Heaters.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Does a flea market have to be outdoors? And does Stugatz know flea markets?
Dan, you want an outdoor flea market in South Florida? You have to have indoor-outdoor capabilities. Otherwise, no one's going
to
show up.
I'm just saying, okay? For it to be an authentic flea market, in my mind, requires a mostly outdoors experience. It's pack up your stuff. It's not even. It's tents of your own formation. It's not housing. It's not kiosks. It's not. You don't have walls all around you. That's not a flea market to me. That's a flea market is a bit of a rugged outdoor experience where you're getting free stuff and you can't go to an Auntie Annie's over here. You can't go over here. Not free stuff, but you just go if old stuff or
free
cheap,
samples.
Cheap stuff.
Free samples of stuff.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Love a free sample.
The flea market has evolved over time and now it tends to be a hybrid indoor outdoor.
Yes.
My home flea market, the Thunderbird, is
that you haven't been to in 45 years.
Mostly, it's my home. When I go there, they say, Greg, you know, like not Norm true. Walking into Cheers. But it used to be all outdoor, but now it's a hybrid. It's indoor and outdoor.
Of course. Yeah. Yes.
It's a real shame. We don't need that. This is where evolution's not necessary in the flea market.
How do you mean?
I mean, it should have stayed just the way it was. There was nothing wrong with the flea market before. We don't need to be bringing things inside and air conditioning them. No, thank you.
It's perfect and it's squalor.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, do you think of a flea market having air conditioning?
I don't ever think of flea markets.
You're not thinking.
Have you ever been to a flea market?
I've been to a couple when I was very young.
Tell us about it.
I got a bootleg copy of Titanic, the double tape.
I have a child.
Do we know
that's what
if...
You get that. You get like Journey Escape. That's what you get there. Yeah.
Journey Escape?
Yeah. Great album.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Lebatard.
The Clevelander Hotel sits on a famous strip of land, and it's a party palace. There are sometimes these conventions that roll through here that are terrifying. A couple of weeks ago, it was the Bitcoin people.
Stugats.
They call the event 70,000 tons of metal.
It's more than that.
It's a lot of metal, man.
I mean, listen to me, Roy. I love Miami. That music has made me consider moving.
You're talking about more of like the... Like that.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugats.
Do we know why it's called a flea market? I don't know the answer to that question, why it's called a market of flea.
Get a little porn.
Yeah.
I would think because the stuff's old, right? It has fleas on it. No?
Well, the fleas is the lowest denominator, right, of the animal kingdom.
Oh, your voice.
I know. It's just, what can I tell you? You can't fake this.
Time now for Greg Cody's Back in My Day. Let's make him read something.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
A little smut. Smut.
I thought for sure.
Smuts.
Chris Cody was going to get in there with. Hey now.
Baby.
Hell yeah.
All right. Pardon me in advance for my voice. Tablets! Almost half of children under the age of 8 have their own tablet device and spend an average of about 2.5 hours per day on those digital screens. Back in my day, by the way, pills were often called tablets. Like, my head is pounding. Could you hand me a couple of headache tablets? Those tablets made you better. These tablets make you dumber. Initial results of a National Institutes of Health study begun in 2018 indicates that kids who spend more than 2 hours a day on their tablets and other screen time activities scored lower on language and thinking tests. And children who log more than 7 hours of screen time a day were prone to a thinning of the cerebral cortex, the area of the brain related to critical thinking and reasoning. And you thought eye strain was the only risk. Yet, to a generation of young parents, the tablet is a battery-powered babysitter, or an incentive to get little Sophie or Liam to behave. Tablets are creating Pavlov's children, the zombification of an entire generation. You ever notice a family with kids at a restaurant? Chances are the kids, even preschoolers, have the earbuds in and the tablets on, watching Disney cartoons or YouTube for kids. Remember talking? Whatever happened to the art of conversation? Am I right, Lebatard?
2 episodes.
My granddaughter, not yet 4, surfs her tablet like a pro, mesmerized, running laps around yours truly in terms of knowing technology. The other day, she was trying to teach me what blockchain meant. Back in my day, if Greg Cody got whiny because he was bored, you know what his mom and dad did? Handed him some blank paper and a box of crayons. I was in my early 30s at the time. No, seriously, I was a young boy, and for the next hour, I was a doodling fool, nourishing whatever artistic streak needed the exercise. On tablets nowadays, you can download a coloring app for your child, a fingertip on the screen, all it takes to make the colors appear. Pretty cool, right? Well, one problem. It literally will not let you color outside the lines. Why are we denying children the joy of failure and the lessons therein? How do you ever feel the satisfaction of improvement in finally coloring inside the lines if you've never been allowed to color outside them? Have you ever heard of Bippy? Your 5-year-old.
It's Blippy.
Has.
Blippy.
Blippy.
Whatever.
That's a fine.
Blippy. Blippy is a grown man. Christopher knows.
I love Blippy.
Blippy is a grown man in an orange bow tie knows. And suspenders and a funny hat who makes edutainment videos. What a gruesome word, quote unquote, for kids on YouTube. He has 12.4 million subscribers, made more than $8 million last year. What the hell? I'm going to start doing kids' edutainment videos myself as the character Greggy. In the very first one, I'll advise kids to shut off the tablet, grab an old-timey coloring book, and
please
do nothing
do
but color
please
outside
do
the lines.
Please do this.
I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Chris, Luis, go ahead and create an angry, bitter Greggy character. Where he just rails against the way children. No, you should do that. That sounds
perfect, Greg.
You as an embittered children's character is great. Sounding this dreadful. Sounding just baked and soaked in sickness.
But I got to have a get up, right? Like an orange wig or something.
We'll get you one
at the flea market.
Let's figure out. Let's go. You and Billy go to the flea market. Find Greggy. Develop Greggy's character, and let's see if we can get this popular on YouTube.
Festival flea market this Saturday, boys. Huh? Little porn. Some stuff for Greg and some weed.
Greggy, the problem with this idea is that you're going to be telling people to get off the internet where all of your videos will live.
Right. It could be a short-lived series.
Greggy.
Right. Greggi. I've been called Greggy over the years. Gregor. Various things.
Just stop.
Greggy, Greggi.
No, two Gs.
Okay.
Yeah, which is because I hate the name Greggg. If people are addressing me and spell it with two Gs, I abhor that. But Greggy has two Gs and an I. I'm undecided about the hyphen. I think I'm going to eschew the hyphen and just make it Greggi. Patent pending.
Where were you putting a hyphen?
Before the I was considered. But at the board meeting, my equivalent of the Golden Canes voted against the hyphen.
Right.
Right. Why would there be a hyphen?
Well, you know, just for show.
Just because.
Well, then why would it be an I, not an E?
Because Greggy has flair, Billy. You don't understand.
Right.
I'm learning.
This is the character. You've got to take him out to the flea market if you really want to know what's in his soul. Stugatz, last night, and we've been marveling the last couple of weeks about football being extra football.
Weird game, man.
But last night, the 49ers, who don't win at home at all and have been terrible against the spread, and since being 6 minutes from winning the Super Bowl, it's been an apocalypse, and they don't look like they know what they're doing, and Garoppolo does not look like anyone's future.
Right. Last night he looked very good, though.
They didn't ask him to do very much.
No, but they got George Kittle back. Like, he's been hurt. He was hurt last year. He was hurt this year. Like, that guy, when he's healthy, is a top three or four tight end in the NFL.
They showed last night on the broadcast, so Kittle in the lineup makes Jimmy Garoppolo much better.
Much better.
He's a bit of a cheat code, and he played last night. Mm. But still, the Rams just got... They're playing for right now. They got Beckham. They got Von Miller. They got Jalen Ramsey. That's an all-star team. They've put together, in football, it's very hard to put together an all-star team. But the Rams, even in a sport that's all about stakes and all in, the Rams are more all in than anybody this year, where they're like, okay, we're just going to do this for right now. Never mind about draft picks. We're going to do this for right now. And they get dragged, and they get dragged with Stafford being Stafford. Stafford reminding you, Robert Woods was really good and important for them.
They lost him.
And Kupp is a bit of a cheat code as well for Stafford.
He's the leading wide receiver in the NFL, Cooper Kupp.
Well, Cooper Kupp, I remember Mina saying this the year the Rams went to the Super Bowl. Cooper Kupp went outside the lineup, and that is why Belichick was able to hold the Rams to 3 points, because they stopped being the offense of Todd Gurley and Jared Goff and explosive all over the place, that Kupp really matters to that team. But they get dragged last night, and what's happening in that league is you have, I think I have this right, 4 teams with 2 losses.
Right.
And 5 teams with 3. So you got 3/4 of the league is 4, 5, or 6 losses and terrible.
You have the Packers with 2 losses. You have the Cowboys with 2 losses. You have the Tennessee Titans
and
with
2 Cardinals. Losses.
And the Cardinals.
The Cardinals. So that's 4.
Right.
And then you've got the 3 loss teams. But now, because you've got that kind of parity, you can now have a conversation on ESPN about, wait a minute, are the Patriots coming? they're half a game back in the division because they've played one, right? Or are they?
Yes.
They've won four straight. They're a half back in the AFC East. They're plus 88. Their rookie quarterback is starting to play very, very well. And yeah, you could certainly make an argument that Bill Belichick and the Patriots could make a run through the AFC.
There's no question. Mac Jones is now the Rookie of the Year favorite. The defense is really good. Belichick is up from the grave. Everybody was going to bury him last year. The Patriots are really good. There's a lot of people who think they're going to win the division over the Bills, particularly on recent form.
Dan, the Bills have scored 280 points. The Chiefs have scored 262 points. Now, I know it's been a weird year for the Chiefs. The Patriots have scored 275 points. Like, they could score, but here's the important thing. They, almost as well as any other team, can stop the other team from scoring. So his defense is really good and it's healthy, you know, and he's a great defensive coach. I mean, this is crazy that they're good again this quickly.
I'm not quite willing to get to good because they're 6-4. Okay. I know that Mac Jones has been okay the last few games. And I also saw them lose to the Dolphins in their opener. They're 2-4 or something at home. And Ryan Clark is playing cheap tricks when he says that Mac Jones is better than Tom Brady was his first year with the Patriots. That's a cheap rhetorical trick that Ryan Clark is doing because Tom Brady, A, was not that good his first year with the Patriots. B, turned the ball over a lot less than Mac Jones does, which was sort of the art of what Belichick was doing back then with the very creation of a game manager in Tom Brady. I've got a young quarterback. Please don't make any mistakes. Mac Jones has thrown interceptions. Mac Jones does things. I mean, and that's part of the rookie learning curve.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that he's going to be a turnover machine, but I don't believe that this last week, I believe we're hyperventilating because Mac Jones for the first time last week showed us, oh, wait, we're throwing down the field into double coverage. We're throwing with precision. It's not bubbles and slants and what they were doing at Carolina.
Yeah, but what he's doing is getting better. So last week was, so it's a buildup. I'm with you. It was more game manager for the first few weeks, but
Protecting him, Stugatz. Well,
I know, but I would say
a lot of screens, Stugatz, in that game.
Like, I know.
That's how you attack Cleveland.
But he did have, listen, he's got 13 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. I'm not saying he's great, okay? But I'm saying with a good defense and a good running game, he can manage a game.
Yep. They certainly do have a good running game and a good defense.
He's good enough.
Yeah,
right.
The Belichick coach defense and the signing of Judon, they've been really good. And they've been getting better as the year has gone, and maybe we shouldn't hold the turnovers too much against him because he seems to be cleaning up that aspect of his game, Dan, the more he plays.
It's still a bonus if you get a good rookie season out of your quarterback because the opposite is the truth. There's all kind of metrics out there that I've read about Tua Tagovailoa's statistics through his first 15 starts are better than a lot of quarterbacks through their first 15, including Josh Allen. And so you have to give a quarter. You judge him deep into his second season in terms of starts, not as a rookie. But Mac Jones is really coming on strong. I think he's going to be the ROI.
I just want to say this, the ROI, the Roy.
Why did you do that?
The Roy.
Why were you in too big of a hurry? That. Why did you do that?
You know, shorthand.
Put it on the poll, Gamble, at Levitard Show. Do you call the rookie of the year
ROY?
Roy.
I think sometimes, Dan, with like the Rams, okay, going for it now, sometimes you spend too much time going for it now. You overdo it. Like, the Rams were fine 2 games ago. Then you bring in Von Miller. Then you bring in Odell Beckham Jr. And then guys who are making contributions and getting playing time suddenly aren't making those same contributions and getting the same amount of playing time. And perhaps you ruffle a few feathers. And then you have Stafford trying to force the ball to Odell Beckham on the first play of the game last night, and he throws an interception. Like, sometimes you can overdo it. And I feel like in this case, McVay, who had enough, kind of overdid it.
Robert Woods tore his ACL.
I understand that. I do.
But that first drive, it did have the vibes of, oh, now this is kind of what Baker Mayfield was living with. It's just this kind of pressure you feel to like want to get him the ball.
To get him the ball. Yes. Yeah.
But Robert Woods being out is a pretty substantive and important thing. And Odell Beckham.
They didn't know that at the time, though, Dan.
Odell Beckham having 7 seconds to pick up the offense is also something right. that is a little bit. I was surprised.
3 years to pick up the Browns offense.
I was surprised he was even playing last night.
I was
night.
Too. I was. By the way, I predicted San Francisco outright win over the Rams.
Fascinating.
Wow, congrats.
Good job out of you. Yeah.
How's your season record?
I was wondering. Some people see things.
We were thinking about that, yes.
My season record is a little bit rough, which is why I'm bragging about the rare chance to brag.
You don't think the Rams overdid it, huh? I mean, they're sitting there at 7-2. The team's good enough.
I think it's one of the nine teams this year that you have said at one point is the best team in the league.
That was them without Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, they have messed up the chemistry in that locker room.
I believe you celebrated both of those trades. I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah. That was, again, pre-trades, and now I'm starting to question the trades.
You didn't question the trades before trades. You were against Odell Beckham, them trading for Odell Beckham and Von Miller? That's a thing you said out loud to somebody?
No. I did say it about Von Miller. I did say it about Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I didn't say it to you. I didn't say it to Mike.
You didn't say it on air.
I didn't say it to anyone on this show.
No, what? You didn't say it to anyone and that was hearing it publicly.
I was thinking about it yesterday. Yeah, I didn't even say it to Finney. I did not say it to Finney. I didn't say it. Who did I say it to? I'm trying to remember who I said it to.
You either didn't say it and are now lying, or you may have just thought it as a percolating take that never actually reached your lips. That you're just like, what position can I take here that might be a good take?
I said it to Roy. That's who I said it to. Roy and I were having an off-air conversation, and I said, sometimes you go a little bit too far. I'm okay with Von Miller. That's fine. Odell Beckham Jr., little too far, Dan, if you know what I'm saying. You get Stafford trying to force the ball to him. I don't want that guy around my team. I don't. Mike is happy he's gone, and the Rams are going to regret they signed him. You'll see.
The NFL is a series of weekly overreactions. The Rams have lost two in a row. Well, guess what? The mighty Tom Brady has lost two in a row as well. I'm not writing off good teams who lose two in a row. If you told me right now the Rams are going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, I'm like, yeah, could very well happen.
I just love the seesawing that last week the Cowboys were a fraud. The next week, oh no, they've got the firepower to play with anybody in the NFL. It's a great year.
But it seems
like this year more than most, and at least in part, it's got to be because you have no one win teams, and you've got a few two loss teams, three loss teams, and then the rest of the league's the same. And then there are a few bad teams, but you know, as we sit here talking, most of you do not know, as we sit here talking, what the hell the difference is between the Ravens and the Bengals.
No idea.
They could put together a schedule of five. You'll be talking about them again in five games. If they win five straight, you'll again forget everything you saw the first half of the season and make them about the last five you saw, because it's so topsy-turvy that when the Patriots win a few in a row, or when the Titans win a few in a row without losing, it gets our attention because nobody in this league gets to win a few in a row.
Right. Two weeks ago, the Bengals were the top seed in the AFC. They lost one game to the Cleveland Browns in that time span. If the playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in it.
Mm-hmm. Lost to the Jets as well.
But it's like, look at what's happening. This is such a stupid, funny, sizable stakes by the week formula that we have gone this season from the Carolina Panthers winning the first month of the season, the Denver Broncos winning the first month of the season. Both of them started 3-0, and then both of them lost everything in the second month of the season. Then Denver goes to Dallas, and you're like, holy shit, well, maybe. Then Denver plays against Philadelphia, and you're like, never mind. Then Carolina says, you know what? We're all in on Cam Newton. Our schedule looks easy. You could do this week to week. The Dolphins next month of games might get them back to 7-7.
It should get them back to 7-7. Yep. But Dan, here's the thing that happened to the NFL. Mike, do you agree with this? Because we entered the season thinking there'd be two dominant teams. People talked about the Bucs going undefeated. People talked about the Chiefs getting back to the Super Bowl. Those teams have not been as good as people expected. And because of that, that has opened up the NFL.
The Chiefs not being elite has really thrown everything into chaos for the AFC. And it's like the residual effect of not having Manning and Brady in there. It's really fun in the AFC to watch the pendulum swing from, wow, yeah, the Browns look like they have their identity. It's Baker crazy. Sucks.
Yeah.
So, and that's a case for every team. One win and you're in the playoffs. One loss and you're facing a must win.
And the perpetual overreaction applies to individual players as well. Two or three games ago, the narrative around Patrick Mahomes was, has the NFL figured out Patrick Mahomes?
That was one game ago. It wasn't two or three games ago. It was a game ago.
Yes, yep. Have the Chiefs.
And Tony threw back the Chiefs in the bucket of death. The Chiefs were an underdog at the Raiders. That was not a month ago. That was not weeks ago. That was a few days ago.
The Chiefs.
But the point is, he has a 5-touchdown game, and it's like, he's back. Patrick is back. The league has not figured him out.
I will say again what I said controversially yesterday, and I want to echo. This is stupid shit. We're doing stupid shit analyzing this.
Yep.
Thinking that anybody that's looking at anything, that Ryan Clark isn't doing anything but playing tricks when he says Mac Jones is better than Tom Brady his first year. That our analysis is of the last 3 weeks. That we are not talking about how the hell the Cleveland Browns spent $100 million in guards last week and couldn't block anybody against the Patriots.
Last week.
You know what I will say again? I will say that I had the 49ers winning last night. You're welcome.
Again, you thought that was something that Baird repeated.
Yes.
Chris, can you look up your dad's record this year just against the spread and how he did last week? Because he's talking about this one that he got right. So let's see if an examination of all of his records.
I can tell you.
You know off the top of your head?
I going into week 10, I think I was 4 games under against the spread. Ups and downs. I don't know my record this week, but I think it was pretty good. I think I'm definitely above 500 for the week.
Wow.
But is that really worthy of a wow?
No, it wasn't.
Who'd you pick in Bucks, Washington?
I think I had Washington covering, actually.
Why are we doing this? Why are
but
we
going?
Another
the
wow?
Green Lizard.
Another wow from you for, you just want to go through Greg's, you want to go through his picks on,
Wow.
So after I get done with a segment saying, look how little we know, Greg Cody's like, well, no, I knew something.
Yeah.
I knew the 49ers would
win
last night.
I had a strong feeling.
What does that mean? Okay. I don't.
A great seer of mine.
You pick all the games.
I know.
It's not like you're handpicking games that you like. You just have to pick all of them.
I mean, you're going to stumble into getting one or two right. I mean,
a great seer of mine once told me that.
A seer of yours?
He blew right past
A great
that,
seer of mine once told me that you trust the friend, the trend. You trust the trend, but there's an opposite of that. The trend must end because the law of averages kick in. So one of the reasons I picked San Francisco, one of many reasons, is that they had lost 7 games in a row at home. That's untenable. That's an aberration. That's not going to continue. They were just plainly due to have a great performance at home. I foresaw it as if I dreamed it.
The due theory.
Exactly.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what that is, right, Dan?
Well, if it's you and him, it's do. If it's you and him, if it's the both of you, it's the do theory.
The trend must end.
I mean, saying here he learned something. You know what I learned? To rhyme. I learned to rhyme. The trend must end. That's why I figured out football, and my picks are 4 games under 500 this year.
Hey. Better than most.
Better than most.
What a brutal year it's been.
Yes.
The trend is your friend, but the trend must end.
You stink.
Can he sound healthier?
You sound like you're about to end. Your trend of being able to talk successfully is about to end.
Right. You'll miss me when I'm gone.
Maybe. I will miss you when you're gone.